Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading for the festival of the Annunciation of our Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a festival of Christ, the Lord's Annunciation, but also known as a festival of Mary. And it has a long, long history in the church. There were none of these festivals of Mary by 700 AD being practiced in Rome, per se. They were being practiced already, and the cult of veneration of Mary, for instance, began pretty early, about the 4th century in the church. In fact, the first prayers which began to pray to Mary for intercession with Christ on behalf of the sinner occur in about 400. It was in the same century, 431, not too long after, that the Council of Ephesus decreed that Mary is the Theotokos, the Mother of God. And we confess that as Lutherans. Some have said, see, they're turning Jesus into God, and at the same time they start venerating Mary, and they're all off track. But Hermann Sasse points out that, in fact, the very heretics who were denying the divinity of Christ, against whom these creeds needed to be written, themselves had a fairly advanced cult of the worship of Mary and the veneration of Mary. Actually, these practices begin already in the Eastern Church. And what happens to devotional practices, they become sort of personal, pious practices, they develop a liturgical foothold, then they begin being practiced by a small part of the church, then a larger part of the church usually, and they grow over time. In the Eastern Church, today we know as the Orthodox churches, in the Orthodox churches they don't have defined dogmas about Mary like the Roman Catholic Church has. Now, mind you, We will take issue with our Roman Catholic friends, and I do say friends because it is always heartening to march with these people at life marches and who stand with us on so many challenging social issues, especially today. And we do regard them as friends. And we know that wherever Christ is believed, there is eternal life. But the dogma advanced in the West. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which was believed to be necessary so that Christ could be born sinless, that Mary was immaculately conceived, that began to develop in the West, first in England about the 11th century. The talk of the Assumption of Mary into heaven at her death, another festival, December 8th every year, that pious belief found part in the liturgy, it began to arise already with certain questions among the church fathers again in the third century or so. The Roman Catholic Church took a rather strong move forward in 1854 by declaring through a papal decree that in fact it is dogma of the Church that all faithful people, if they wish to be Catholic and not separated from the Church, must believe that Mary was conceived without sin. Of course, that happened because Rome has a different view of tradition than we do. It believes that the Holy Spirit speaks through the life of the Church and the teaching part of the Church, the magisterium, the papacy. And the Holy Spirit continues to unveil doctrines over time. The Lutherans complained at the time, and even the bishop, Roman Catholic bishop of this town in St. Louis, complained at the time as well. He did not believe it was correct, nor should it be dogmatized. I suspect he believed it was fine for personal piety, but should not be dogmatized. It was, in fact, made dogma in 1854. The Marian dogmas advanced again in 1950, in a century. There, the Pope decreed that Mary's body was bodily assumed into heaven upon death. There's no quotation of a Bible verse for that. There's no reference to the Bible in the entire short proclamation. And it must be believed. This caused quite a lot of ecumenical offense, of course, and still remains a challenge. Our text teaches us some things about Mary, some marvelous things, and we honor her tremendously as the Mother of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. That was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. That miraculous event had been described just prior to this text in the first chapter of Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Betrothed, they were engaged. And the Bible tells us they had not yet had sexual relations. And it's a virgin. The same word is used throughout the New Testament, and it's very clear. When we were young, us boomers, the big deal was denying the virgin birth. I don't think anybody really cares about it anymore. We're not modernists anymore trying to test the Bible by science. The virgin birth doesn't seem to threaten people as much today as it did. Today, what threatens people is our own personal feelings about sexuality or, who knows, any of the hot-button issues publicly. But she's a virgin, and that was promised by Isaiah the prophet about 700 B.C. She was betrothed to this man, Joseph, of the house of David. She was from the house of David, too, and so was he. That's why they went to Bethlehem to register down in that territory of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one. The greeting is chaire. It's the word joy. And it's used in the Bible always in circumstances where the Lord is coming especially to do his business. In the Gospels, it's put on the lips of the opponents of Jesus. Hail! If you're the Son of God, do something special, or etc. But then it comes with all its true meaning and sincerity at the end of the Gospels where Jesus says, Chaire, it's me. See my hands and my side. Greetings, O favored one. That's passive. Being a Christian isn't like trying to get holy like Mary and get some of her credit or to try to get your own credit. She is declared holy by God or favored by God. It's his action that finds sinners, finds the lowly, the least, the outcast, and declares them favored. The Lord is with you. But she's greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The word there is often translated, she pondered in her heart. And the word there is for a discussion, a dialogue. It's often used in the New Testament for people trying to argue a point. So she's really conflicted about this. What in the world is this? And as you well know in the Bible, when angels show up, people are scared to death. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Again, a passive. He chooses to have her be the favored one. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, Savior, Yeshua, Joshua in the Old Testament. Yahweh saves. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. Can we say God was born of the Virgin Mary? Yes, we do. He is God in the flesh. And then the text goes on to say, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David. He is the Son of David and the Son of God. He is like David in the flesh. He is like all of us, every one of us, every bit of us, save sin. And he has come into our very flesh to do what he came to do, to save us. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God does remarkable, strange things, doesn't he? He always does remarkable and strange things. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Mary could see that she was pregnant, Elizabeth that is, and now the promise is coming to her. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Behold, I'm the Lord's slave. This is what faith does. Faith receives what the Lord gives. Unfaith says, no, God, I won't have it that way. For nothing will be impossible with God. Even as you face challenges today, hold to this wonderful scripture, because God will sustain you in these difficult times and his church. Nothing is impossible with God. Remember your prayers. Continue to receive Christ's good gifts. His salvation is for you. Let it be to me according to your word. It's a lot different than that wonderful song that Paul McCartney wrote as a result of a dream about his mother Mary coming to him. This says, let it be according to your word. The promises of the word are all ours. The promises of baptism, the promises of forgiveness and absolution, the promises of preaching, the promises that we are God's children, the promises to sustain the church in the end times, the promises to hear our prayers when we pray for our children, the promises attached to the Holy Supper, which promises forgiveness and eternal life. And the angel departed from her. God grant us such faith to let it be according to his word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the New England District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for Matt and Dee Dee Wasman, who serve the Lord in South Korea. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.